Hello and welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. I'm your host, Travis with a cold, and I will do my best to have a fun show for you today. We will talk about the PSLF waiver report card. We're going to talk about how the PSLF waiver is going, what it suggests for other initiatives Department of Ed's trying to do, like the IDR waiver and the new repayment plan and return to repayment. And we're going to talk about the excitement and the huge disappointment of the Biden administration's student loan relief initiatives so far. So first, I want to talk about the PSLF waiver. Many people have received the PSLF waiver in our community of student loan borrowers. So that's very exciting. And if you're doing all the right things, checking all the right boxes, you can get PSLF. If you think about the success rate, out of an estimated $145 billion that's eligible for forgiveness right now, about $26 billion so far has been forgiven. That's pretty solid. That's almost, let's see if I'm doing my math right. It's close to a 20% success rate in terms of the absolute dollars being forgiven. Now, you might say, oh my gosh, that's so wonderful. It was a 99% rejection rate. Well, 80% not doing it, still pretty bad. You can sort of say, hey, this is awesome. We don't have an F anymore. You know, you might be like, yay. But then you bring home your C minus, like, oops, that's not very good, right? So let's talk about what's going on with the PSLF waiver and why the take-up rate was so low. And just, I mean, the fact that it is growing exponentially is encouraging for people that are going for forgiveness. And I want to talk more broadly at the end of today's podcast about what it means in terms of the Biden administration's just excitement and failure that they're bringing to the table on student loans, because it's really both. And let's talk about January 2022, more than a year ago. What was the state of PSLF? So it's about $6 billion forgiven, 84,000 borrowers. As of the most recent data, in January 2023, literally 1 year later, this is, you know, just the most recent data, so they haven't put out the more recent reports yet, 388,000 borrowers forgiven on $26.6 billion of loans. What is that? A more than tripling of people in literally like 1 year. That's pretty momentous. That's a pretty big change. Now, when we talk about that being good, that people are getting forgiveness, that's true, but that's still not that good. In fact, it's not really something to call home about, right? Just because so many people, the vast majority of the eligible debt for PSLF is being left out. Let's talk about why. The stat I'm citing on the $145 billion that's eligible for cancellation, that's according to some economists at UVA. They did a paper on PSLF, and they found that during the PSLF waiver rules, $145 billion could be forgiven. The fact that only $26 billion so far has been forgiven, why is that? So think about everything that you have to do to get the PSLF waiver. You had to have identified that you were eligible, right? You had to realize that you had 10 years total of cumulative public service credit. This is to get your loans canceled, of course, not just to get any credit whatsoever. But you had to identify that, you had to apply, and you also had to know in which order do you consolidate. So most people needed to consolidate. Do you consolidate first and then apply, or apply then consolidate? So just the fact that there's confusion around what kind of loans do I have, how do I consolidate, where do I go to do that, where do I submit my forms, it was very confusing. Contrast the PSLF waiver to something like applying for the Student Loan Forgiveness Initiative, the 10,000 to 20,000 of forgiveness. That, in contrast, was very easy, and I believe you had something like a 60 or so percent take-up rate. Like out of the something like 16 million people were approved, 26 million applied. This is off the top of my head. I'm not sure if these are exact numbers, but you know, the majority of people that are eligible did apply. And why is that? I mean, social media was absolutely taken over by, hey, this is what you do. This is so fast. You just go to this form, fill out the forms. All you do, so easy, right? So it's true. Applying for the Student Loan Forgiveness Initiative, the cancellation initiative, was really easy compared to the PSLF waiver. And you're seeing the profound consequences of that. If you're looking at the difference between the success rates of the PSLF waiver and the cancellation application, that is one of the reasons why the PSLF waiver drew no legal challenges and the Student Debt Cancellation Initiative did, is because if it's very confusing, then opponents don't understand it either. And that's one of the benefits of the way the Biden administration has approached the PSLF and IDR waivers. Now, the flip side of that is it does disadvantage under-resourced communities that don't have the resources to be aware that they even qualify for something like this. And that's a very kind of wealth gap creating thing, not a wealth gap shrinking thing. If you think about what happened with the PSLF waiver, and this is really sad to just be really honest and just talk about, if there was $145 billion eligible for cancellation for the PSLF waiver, and only $26 billion got actually canceled, and the amount that was canceled per borrower is about $68,000, which means that the majority of people getting the PSLF waiver were graduate degree holders. What that means, most likely, since we know that the most struggling borrowers tend to have $5,000 to $15,000 of student loans from degree programs of low quality, what this is saying is that the PSLF waiver probably widened the wealth gap, especially the racial wealth gap. It probably widened the racial wealth gap the way they did it. And that's very uncomfortable because we like to think about this as something bringing relief to borrowers. We like to think of this as a purely good thing. And it is a purely good thing if you were on the receiving end of it, right? But if you think about the, let's say, the single mom from a first-generation college background who didn't know that she was eligible for the PSLF waiver, didn't consolidate in time, that person got hurt badly by the way the government designed this program. Now, could they have designed it a better way? Is it better than what maybe a Republican administration might have done, which was nothing on the PSLF waiver front? Sure, but I think that it's important to reflect on the positives and the not so positives when we think about how it has a program delivered for borrowers or lack thereof. So I think if I was Department of Education looking at the PSLF waiver take up and success rates, what I would say is the first thing you got to do is communicate better. PSLF waiver communication was pretty poor, in my opinion. That was good for our business. We had a lot of people that needed help and booked consults because of it, because the communication was so poor. But you don't have to make things hard. If you're Department of Education, tell people what you want them to do, and then they will do it, right? For the PSLF waiver, it was so up in the air. Do you consolidate? Do you not consolidate? What order in which do you apply? Like, Department of Education should have just come out and said, no one's going to have their loan payment recalculated for the PSLF waiver. So all you got to do is check that you work at a public service job. We're not going to recalculate your IDR payment. That would have taken away a big reservation that people had about the waiver. And then they should have said, it does not matter in which order that you apply for your PSLF application. If you submit the PSLF waiver application form, you can do so before or after a consolidation, and we'll take the most advantageous presentation of your employment data on that. You know, if it's better to do it before consolidation or after consolidation, we will make sure we process it the right way as long as we receive them in about the right amount of time. The Department of Education just doesn't do a good job communicating. And that's partially because these student loan programs are really complicated. It's partly because it's a little bit dry, the information. It's partly because it's hard to come up with a communication plan. It's not an easy thing. It's easy for me to throw stones, right? But if I'm not in the room there coming up with a communication plan, then maybe I need to be a little bit more gracious to them. What I'm hoping is that we would look at this PSLF waiver, and while there are successes, I would say there are probably more failures than successes. And so if we think about what happens next with the IDR waiver, I think that we need to be very transparent about that, because there are some weird things about the IDR waiver that are not being discussed. One of them is, for PSLF purposes, to get your cancellation under PSLF, under the PSLF waiver, you did not have to be employed at a not-for-profit at the time your loans were forgiven, which is usually you do have to. That's one of the program rules. Under the IDR waiver, though, that no longer applies. In other words, if you hit your 10 years of forgiveness, you actually have to be employed at a not-for-profit when you get the forgiveness. That's something that's not really being talked about. We identified that recently in a random consult that we had, and we noticed this, and it was just bizarre. And then I remembered, oh yeah, they changed the rules on you being able to get canceled loans and that waiver of a statutory requirement. So it's just bizarre, the Department of Education's design of these programs, because they're willing to waive other statutory requirements, but they reinstated that one. Why? So the IDR waiver success rate really is going to depend, in my opinion, on Department of Education doing a really good job telling people what they need to do. So if Department of Education can think through all of the reasons people would be afraid of consolidating their loans, right? The interest rate changing. A lot of people are worried about their 2% interest rate from the mid-2000s becoming 3% when they do a consolidation. A lot of people are worried about their payment being recalculated on their income-driven repayment plan, because that payment is good in many cases until 2024. Maybe Department of Ed could say, we're not going to recalculate anybody's payment, and we're going to honor any interest rate discounts or something that you got on your old loans for your new loans. You know, like, in other words, take away obstacles that people would have as to why they would not want to consolidate their loans and get the IDR waiver benefit. And the next thing is just come out with a date, like say what you're going to do in terms of payment counting. Like tell people, if you consolidate, we will give you credit for the loan with the most number of qualifying payments, forbearances, and deferments on that new loan at least. That's all you have to say. And it's been over almost a year, and Department of Education is dragging their feet on this, and they're not saying anything. This is what I mean when I say the Department of Education's communication is so poor. They've got to do a better job. They've got to stop confusing borrowers. To be honest, you know, servicers deserve a lot of blame, right? Servicers do a very bad job. They don't communicate. They don't tell people correct information a lot of the times. You have to talk to multiple people in some cases to get the right answer. That's unacceptable. But I think a lot of times our government sort of likes to say it's the servicer's fault, right? When it's really not, it's Department of Education that makes rules that they then don't implement well, and they want to point the finger at somebody else. I think that one of the most profound things for a government leader or a business leader to do is to point at themselves and say, I messed up. This was my fault. It's my mistake, and we will fix it, and here's how we will fix it. I mean, I think the Department of Education should do something similar on the PSLF waiver, something like the PSLF waiver was hugely successful to millions of borrowers or to hundreds of thousands of borrowers, but we did not reach the most vulnerable communities, and that is our fault. And we want to do a better job with the IDR waiver by coming out with a more clear communication plan so that we reach into as many homes as possible to bring student loan relief. Now, the reality, I think, is like on both sides on student loans right now, we're stuck in a political battle. It's all about politics now. The student loan cancellation plan, the reasons that was designed is entirely political. Before you say, whoa, that brings needed relief. It does. I agree. But what I mean is if you wanted to design a policy that was just going to bring relief, you would have made it automatic. You would have made it without any application. You would have not asked anybody to like fill out any information. You just would have granted that forgiveness automatically to all income levels, to all borrowers, because then even the most disadvantaged borrower that doesn't answer any communication from Department of Ed would have also benefited from that. But because they did not want their cancellation plan to be framed as benefiting the wealthy by Republicans, they implemented a application process and they put income caps of 125K and then 250K for a family that only apply for your income retroactively. So even high-income families, it doesn't actually exclude all high-income families. So you're really excluding like 2% of borrowers. So operationally, does that make a difference? You know, you're excluding 2% of borrowers from this widespread benefit because you want to call it targeted cancellation. Well, I mean, again, like this is all a political messaging thing. And then Republicans deciding to sue on the cancellation instead of other things is also very political because it's like, well, the PSLF waiver, the IDR waiver were too confusing for them. But the cancellation was very straightforward, and the cost and the how broad it was, and Republicans saw an electoral advantage, possibly for higher office, right, to win a primary more easily, something like that, to bring a lawsuit against cancellation, which benefits disproportionately more low-income borrowers than other forms of the relief the Biden administration has done. So if you're against student loan cancellation, then you should really be against the student loan pause. The reason being is, you know, somebody that has paused PSLF payments of $5,000 a month that they're not having to make because the payment pause is going on, they're getting $60,000 a year canceled. And they've gotten that times three. So a really high income surgeon doing PSLF, $180,000 canceled. Amazing. But then how can you not challenge that vigorously, but you challenge cancellation vigorously? I don't get it because it doesn't really seem that logical unless you want to say, well, the pause benefits disproportionately higher income earners, and politically you're reflecting those interests, right, of protecting higher income earners. I don't know. But it's very political, this whole situation. What we can hope for in our government is some really solid civil service people that are not sort of beholden to this political aspect of stuff, that their job is to just execute whatever the administration tells them to do until a court tells them not to. Like that's what I'm hoping for, is that, okay, Biden administration has said, this is how we're going to do the IDR waiver. Clarifying question, how do we count the payments? Oh, we give credit on the consolidation loan for the loan with the most number of payments? Great. Now we can go have a clear communication plan to borrowers to tell them what's going on so that they can apply for it. Thinking about the IDR waiver a little bit more, the 12-36 rule is important. So that's like to say if you have at least 12 months of consecutive forbearance or 36 months of aggregate forbearance, you should be getting credit for that period of time for IDR forgiveness and for PSLF forgiveness if you're working for a qualifying employer. So let's talk real briefly about the excitement and the frustration when it comes to Biden student loan relief initiatives. The excitement is if you know what you're doing, if you know what you're eligible for, if you know how to do it, if you know who to contact when it doesn't go well, you can get transformational savings from President Biden's student loan relief initiatives. PSLF waiver, IDR waiver, new repay plan. These are absolutely amazing opportunities for people to save a lot of money. But the frustration and the failure of these programs is if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't know all the rules and details and processes, you will make probably a lot of really bad mistakes. And that's the frustration. And the other thing is another thing that Biden is doing is he is pushing the limits of his executive authority to the extent he believes is possible to bring relief to borrowers. That's the excitement side of the coin. The frustration side of the coin is he is doing it in such a way that would also make it very easy for a more conservative president to try to undo, right? When you open the door to modifying an existing income-based plan like repay, then that kind of suggests that a future Republican president might modify it the other direction. Existing borrowers shouldn't really be that worried about this because you always have backup options. Most people that forgiveness is the best choice for have a backup option of either IBR or pay-as-you-earn or some other option, or income contingent repayment if you're a Parent PLUS borrower. And if that goes south, you know, and the forgiveness programs are no longer a good deal for you, if the new repay plan goes away, that you still have other options, you can still try to prepare for that happening by having a lot of money that you're putting away in a brokerage account and things like that. So don't get too frustrated by the different waivers and processes. If you've gotten forgiveness, that's awesome. We want to celebrate that. Feel free to leave a voicemail, studentloanplanner.com/voicemail, if you want to share your forgiveness story. We want to celebrate those forgiveness stories, but also just express like the frustration of just the process for everybody else that's trying to get there. We think that there's going to be a lot of updates, particularly around like April, May, with the COVID emergency expiring in May. We might see some more lawsuits from various corners on different kinds of initiatives. So what we're hoping for is that we get full clarity on the IDR waiver at some point before then, so that we can then aggressively do a lot of these consolidations that might be needed to get the maximum credit for IDR and PSLF forgiveness. Thank you for listening to the Student Loan Planner podcast. If you need to book a plan, studentloanplanner.com. I'm Travis, student loan planner. Have a wonderful week, everybody.